It's 7:45. I'm Anthony Moreno. The Domenici Institute at New Mexico State University held its 11th annual public policy conference this week. Michael Hernandez spoke with James Carville, Democratic political strategist, about his predictions for the November midterm elections and the current political climate.
Mr. Carville, how has the political landscape changed since your last visit to the Domenici conference in 2016?
Oh, well, I mean, I think there have been some pretty significant changes. I think the big story in 2016 was the non-college working class white male. I think the big story in 2018 is going to be the college-educated white woman. I think they've become more and more Democratic in the last 2 years, significantly more.
What do Democrats have to do to win in November? Is it all about turnout, or does more depend on their ability to capitalize on Election Day?
Well, right now, as Christian pointed out, Democratic enthusiasm is just high, and I don't think it's going to go anywhere. The only question is how many Republicans vote. I actually feel like the main thing Democrats need to do is just be nice. Don't shout at people. Don't be rude to people. Don't tweet. Say what you believe. Say it in a convincing manner. Run on the things that you want to run on. But above all, be nice. People are tired of the name-calling. They're tired of everything being impulsive and calling people everything. And I was kind of amused. I was reading the story coming out here on a flight from Houston to El Paso, and Ted Cruz is telling people he's really a good guy. You know, when Ted Cruz is starting to run on being nice, you know that there's something there. Because it's just not a word you associate with Ted Cruz.
El Paso Representative Beto O'Rourke's campaign to challenge Senator Ted Cruz has gathered a lot of support. What do you make of his efforts to turn the Senate seat blue in a largely red state like Texas?
Well, I mean, now we have accumulated too much data to think anything other than Texas is a very competitive Senate race. And Beto O'Rourke has done it kind of his way, and he just exudes that he's just something that's new and fresh and, you know, a different kind of person. And I think that's what people are looking for, and he's going to do well. And, you know, Texas is a very Republican state. Just going to call it a close race and see what happens.
How do you feel about the New Mexico governor race between Democrat Michelle Lujan Grisham and Republican Steve Pierce? Do you think New Mexico will select another Republican governor?
You know, I of course, you wouldn't expect me to say the Democrat is going to win. But I think given the fundamentals of this election year and given just the kind of nature of New Mexico, I think the Democrat's going to win. I just think it's that kind of year where in a state like this, it's just hard to win against a tide on the other side.
How much is President Trump motivating Democrats and independents to show up to the polls?
Let's say a lot and leave it at that.
Do you think that talks of a blue wave are overhyped? And what about President Trump's recent remarks of an opposing red wave?
Well, it's one of the 4,337 things he just makes up. Look, right now, if we went to post, it would be a massive Democratic year. I mean, your president's approval is 40, if anything, maybe a little below 40. The generic ballot test, two just came in at 14, another one at 10. If we went to post today, I would be happy. But as Christian pointed out, the Democrats are kind of maxed on enthusiasm. They can't get any more enthusiastic than they are. And the question is, can the Republicans get their people out? If that's the case, I think it would be a good Democratic year, but not a great one.
If Democrats are able to take back a majority in the House or Senate, what impact do you think that will have on the remainder of President Trump's term?
You have no idea. I do. I was there in 94. Having both houses of Congress and you're the president and having just one or none is all the difference in the world.
That was Michael Hernandez speaking with Democratic political strategist James Carville. Living with a family in Chiapas for a year inspired a local anthropologist to write a novel about their lives. Emily Guerra has more.
New Mexico State University anthropology professor emerita, author and activist, Dr. Christine Eber, tells us how she came up with the title of her new novel, When a Woman Rises.
I was in the town of San Cristobal, and I went into a store that sells some of the products made by Zapatista cooperatives, and there was a little cloth, and it had a picture of a Zapatista woman, and it had the words, "Cuando una mujer avanza, no hay hombre que retroceda." And I translated that as, "When a woman rises, no man is left behind." And I thought that that was a wonderful sentiment that encapsulates for me the meaning of the woman's agenda in the Zapatista movement.
One of these women was Eber's close friend of 30 years ago from Chiapas, Mexico, whom with she saw firsthand the struggles of the Zapatista women organizing to defend their lands and lives still today. A book launch for Dr. Eber's new novel, When a Woman Rises, will be held on Friday, September 28th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Casa Camino Real Bookstore and Art Gallery, 314 South Tornillo Street in Las Cruces. You can listen to the entire interview with Dr. Christine Eber on KRWG.org and Facebook. To listen, just click on Puentes at our news link. For KRWG Public Media, I'm Emily Guerra.